Coming up this Monday morning on KBOO, at 10, Air Cascadia is off. We'll be hearing from Between the Covers. At 10:15, on Locus Focus, host Barbara Bernstein interviews Arlen Burns, the mayor of Mosier, and climate activist Bonnie McClay about what we have learned from Mosier's near disaster. At 11, Health Watch presents an encore broadcast of an interview with Dr. Sarah Gottfried, author of The Hormone Reset Diet. At 11:30 on Madness Radio, the guest is UK psychologist Eleanor Longden, who survived a diagnosis of paranoid schizophrenia and went on to be a leading researcher around voice, hearing, trauma, and disassociation. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and click Donate. You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Tune into KBOO for a 25-hour fundraising extravaganza of special programming and community celebration. Democracy Now! Host Amy Goodman recently spoke in Portland on Democracy Now! 20 years covering the movements changing America. KBOO will broadcast this inspiring speech at 10 a.m. Again, that's 6 a.m. on July 14th through 7 a.m. on July 15th to support your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Great Britain upended the status quo across Europe when a slim majority of the nation's voters cast ballots last week to leave the European Union. Britain first joined the European Economic Community in 1973, which was later transformed into the European Union in 1993. Financial markets across the globe reacted to the so-called Brexit vote with major losses in volatility, while the British pound fell to its lowest value in 31 years. British Prime Minister David Cameron proposed the referendum as a cynical ploy to temporarily unite his divided Conservative Party and win the 2015 parliamentary election. Now Cameron, who lost his referendum gamble, has submitted his resignation. Politicians, including the leader of the right-wing United Kingdom Independence Party, swayed many in Britain to support leaving the EU by appealing to anti-immigrant sentiment and false promises to redirect billions of pounds, now going to Brussels, to domestic spending, including the National Health Service. Now, after the Brexit vote, Britain is more divided than ever, with a rise in racist and anti-immigrant attacks, millions signing pro-EU petitions, and Scotland threatening to hold a second referendum to break away from the UK. Your reporter spoke with Nina Ihacker, a lecturer in economics at Bentley University and a member of the Dollars and Cents Collective. Here she assesses the impact of EU austerity and deregulation policies that are widely believed to have contributed to the underlying economic insecurity felt by many in Britain that led to the Brexit vote.
This could be seen in a large way as a backlash against not just austerity policies in Britain of the past 5 years, but also, the longer-term backlash against globalization dynamics that began back in the Reagan-Thatcher period. So if we think about the consequences of privatization within the UK and elsewhere in the West and the world, and we think about the consequences of globalization that really did not do anything to try to soften the landing for people in the industries that were going to be most harshly affected by it. We see dynamics in the UK that are similar to dynamics that I think we see here in the U.S., where we have immiseration is the correct word, but we see this gradual worsening of conditions for a lot of people, and we see a failure of the state to step in and help guide, if that is ultimately what is desired for the public at large. So I think in a big way, this vote was a response to those dynamics. And I think that the immigration side of things does certainly play in. I think when people are in tenuous economic circumstances, you know, it can be tempting to think about migration patterns as a zero-sum game. And while I don't necessarily think that that's what was going on, I think that the Leave, campaign really drove those points home in a manipulative fashion. So I think there was a lot of that, those two flat factors playing off of each other.
After the Brexit vote, there's a lot of concern in Europe that other nation states may hold similar referendums and could break away from the European Union. There's a roiling right-wing anti-immigrant nativist movement in many countries, certainly Marine Le Pen in France, other nations that are currently in the European Union. Is it possible that the Troika, as it's called, the policy-setting body, the European Commission, the European Central Bank, and the IMF, is it possible that in the wake of the Brexit vote, they may reassess the austerity policies that have certainly not gone down well in weaker economies like Greece, Portugal, Spain, Ireland, where those policies on the part of Brussels have dramatically cut social spending, implemented a lot of unwanted privatization, deregulation, seen as linked to very stubborn high unemployment. Do you think the European Union as a whole will reassess its economic policies and the rejection by increasing numbers of Europeans to that system?
Well, I certainly hope so. It's strange to be in a moment where the IMF is, first of all, acknowledging that it was wrong about the value of austerity, that it oversold austerity policies as a route to growth. It's strange but true that we're in a moment where the IMF has actually acknowledged that it's that provisions of its bailout policies worked out with the European Commission and the European Central Bank for countries like Ireland and Portugal were overly restrictive and benefited bondholders at the expense of the countries that were supposed to be given aid in those moments of crisis. The question is whether the European Central Bank's mandate to prevent inflation at all costs is so strong that European policymakers can perhaps work in tandem with the IMF in the context of the Troika to promote better policy. I think in the absence of strong activist movements at the ground, that we may see worse to come. I certainly hope not. But without a strong human presence on the ground countering those separatist movements, I worry that we will see worse and more divisions to come. I think that without a fiscal union that explicitly protects the interests of people in these different countries as they go through recessions, as they try to improve social services and provision of public goods, without that, the union is doomed to fail, and what is good about it will be missed.
That was Nina Eihacker, a lecturer in economics at Bentley University and a member of the Dollars and Cents Collective. Find more analysis of the links between EU austerity and deregulation policies and the Brexit vote by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org. A Latino activist group in New Haven, Connecticut, had scheduled a protest for June 23rd to denounce the killing of 9 teachers in the Mexican state of Oaxaca and U.S. complicity through its funding of Plan Merida, which provides millions of dollars to the Mexican government to buy weapons to fight the drug war. But by the time of the protest, they'd added a press conference to condemn that morning's Supreme Court tie vote that blocked President Obama's program to allow 5 million undocumented immigrants with U.S.-born or legal resident children to stay in the U.S. The 4-4 tie vote left a lower court decision intact, which held that the Obama administration overreached its authority in setting up its Deferred Action for Parents of Americans, or DAPA, program. The protesters in New Haven made a connection between the two events, explaining that tens of thousands of Mexicans and Central Americans have fled extreme violence, such as the recent murders of Oaxaca teachers, and traveled to the U.S. seeking asylum. Many of the same people who are now at risk of being deported back to their home countries often face being the target of violence and the breakup of their families once they return. Between the Lines' Melinda Tujus spoke with Joe Foran, an activist with Unidad Latina en Acción, a New Haven-based group of immigrants and their supporters who fight for their right to remain in the U.S.
I want to commend Rosa DeLauro today and Chris Murphy for the great stand they took in Congress against gun violence. But I want to expand that conversation. I want them to take just as strong of a stand against the Merida Initiative. What the Merida Initiative does is it siphons guns and money indiscriminately to Mexico for the drug war. And what happens with that, those guns and money, is that innocent people are killed. Innocent people who are part of social movements, who stand up for their human rights, are the ones who are being attacked with those guns. And so we need to stand against the guns that we're giving to Latin American police indiscriminately. And we also want to expand that strong stand that Rosa DeLauro said when she was on the Congress floor, and the sit-in that all of those Congress people made. They sat because they were tired of the inaction. And we need to expand that type of direct action, that type of response to a humanitarian crisis, because that's what it is. The immigration crisis is a humanitarian crisis. People are fleeing extreme violence in their countries of origin. And it's disgusting the way that the Supreme Court just turned a cold shoulder on a humanitarian crisis.
This Supreme Court decision, you made the link that what's going on in Mexico is a really good example of why people flee extreme violence to come here. And now with this Supreme Court decision, as I understand it, the undocumented parents of U.S.-born children now, according to Obama, wanted to make a provision for them to stay in the U.S., and now that is gone. And what does the community expect will happen?
Yeah. So the first response is extreme disappointment. Our families here, the people in our organization, Unidad Latina en Acción, have fled extremely violent situations in Latin America, in Central America, in Mexico, state violence in Honduras. Many of our members have come from these kinds of situations. And it's a real visceral fear that these parents could be deported to their deaths. Delinquency is what they call it, but this organized crime comes from U.S. neoliberal policies. And so our governments are directly responsible for these humanitarian crises, and it's completely unacceptable that we turn our backs to them at this moment.
So the Supreme Court has spoken. Is the only solution legislation at this point? And that's certainly not going to happen in this Congress.
So legally, we've been placed into a corner. But our response is direct action. And you better believe that our communities will not stay silent. We're going to take the streets. And we're calling on Rosa DeLauro and Chris Murphy to take another strong stand like they did this week and take the floors of Congress and say it's unacceptable to respond to a humanitarian crisis of people who may be deported to their deaths. Everybody, even U.S. citizens, should take a stand because we're all at risk when our communities the integrity of our communities are threatened like this.
That was Joe Foran with a New Haven, Connecticut-based group, Unidad Latina en Acción. Find more analysis on the Supreme Court's immigration ruling by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.
Up next is Locus Focus with Barbara Bernstein.
KBOO is getting ready for our annual book and record sale. Yay! This is a great time to clean out those closets and shelves and turn your old books, records, and CDs into cash for community radio. Bring them to KBOO Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. We're accepting donations of books, vinyl records, CDs, and DVDs through Wednesday, August 10th. The sale will be held in mid-August. Stay tuned for details. Please, no home recorded cassettes, VHS tapes, or mold. If you have questions or want to arrange for a pickup of donations, please email Ani at volunteer@kboo.org or phone her at 503-231-8032, extension 213.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Wilkin & Company, PC, Certified Public Accountants, helping businesses, individuals, and nonprofit organizations make financial decisions based on their personal values since 1987. Wilkin & Company is located at 2435 Southwest 5th Avenue in Portland.